Tampa. Tampa. Bucks. Josh Freeman. Vincent Jackson. Claiborne back. Bowers healthy. Now that being said, George Costanza. Mr. Steve White.
Thank you.
See, now that's some funny shit. Right? It's interesting. The hell was I? Impartial as I'd like to think I am. Here's the thing. So I give zero fucks. Here's the thing. I don't care. Right? Because I give myself credit for being a relatively smart dude. At any rate, the only reason he should go in the game is if Josh is wheeled off on a fucking stretcher. Doug Martin, Mark Barron, Sean Golson, Levante David, with Revis. Alright guys, we're going a little bit strange tonight. We didn't do the original intro. We did the bumper mix. Hopefully you guys can hear all the audio that's going on there. You guys got good signal. It's going to be an interesting night tonight. Welcome to the podcast. Welcome to the live broadcast. I am Old School, coming to you live from Studio 76. We are smack dab in the middle of a fucking soap opera, guys. We will talk at some point about the Cardinals game because they did bother to have a football game, so we should bother to talk about it. And there were some things to be excited about, to be honest, from a on-the-field perspective. But I'm going to draw a couple of really clear lines in tonight's podcast. You may or may not like these lines, and that's okay. I am going to clearly upset some people tonight, and that's okay as well. This show started as a fan-based pseudo-media outlet. I tend to believe I know a fair amount about the game. I thought that I could help educate some people about the game while doing the things that I love to do, talk about the team that I love, the franchise that I love. You guys have been with me for some number of years, up to and including 8. And we will thank our sponsors and do all our normal house cleaning stuff, but this is going to be a really strange show, so it's going to be all out of order. If you have topics or questions you want to talk about, you can do it in the chat room. You can send it into questions@whatthebuck.net, and I'll do my best to address them there as well. But you've heard me say, and a lot of people have said, I didn't make this one up. The game is about the name on the front of the jersey and not the name on the back. But you cannot eliminate humans from this game. I was talking to a good friend of mine today, Bart, who's a huge college football fan. And one of the things he loves about college football, and I don't know that I agree with him, but conceptually I get where he's coming from. I've talked to you guys on numerous occasions about how players are people. And so when I say something like someone is behaving cunty or is a crappy right tackle or whatever, sometimes you'll see me throw in a comment about how they're probably nice people and pet kittens and those sorts of things. And it's flippant, but it's not meant to be so. When we say someone should be cut, when I say that someone should have their helmet taken at halftime, I am not looking forward to someone losing their livelihood. I'm not looking forward to someone not being able to pay their rent. I'm not looking forward to someone not being able to make their child support payments, right? There is a human aspect to this game. And part of that we get to be exposed to through getting to know these young men. Getting to know them in the community, Davin Josephs, the Vincent Jacksons, the guys that are so active, we see them reach out. The Derek Brooks, the Warwick Dunns, that live on well after their career because we get to know them as people who are larger than life, who do things beyond what many of us can do, maybe, as individuals. We demand that out of them in some ways. In fact, when Coach Shiano came here, that was one of the things that he talked about was trust, belief, accountability. He wanted Buccaneer, quote-unquote, Buccaneer men. He wanted people that would get integrated into the community. And it played well. The concept played well. The problem is, the reality of the situation is that it is bullshit. And I've never been more disappointed, disenfranchised, and disgusted by my fucking team in my life. For the first time since I have been financially able to go to games, I contemplated not going to games. Now, that may piss some of you guys off, and you'll reduce it down to the fact that I happen to like Josh Freeman and I'm upset with the change. Please, for the love of Christ, get the fuck over that. That is not what this is about. If you want to bench Josh Freeman, bench him. Whether I agree with it on performance on the field or not is immaterial. I don't get to make those decisions. It's done. Mike Glenn is our quarterback. I said it before. I wanted him to do well. He didn't do particularly well, but he is a rookie. It's his first game time action. I think they changed the game plan like we predicted they would. I think he looked serviceable. Right? We'll talk about all those things. This isn't about that. It is about the fact that for years, all I've heard is how we don't get enough national attention. Well, welcome to fucking national attention, people. We make the Jets look like a goddamn nursery school. We make the Bengals look functional. We make the Raiders uninteresting. Because every other fucking day, we've got something else that this inept organization cannot manage in the media. The very basic blocking and tackling of running a company, they've managed to fuck up from the jump. And these are a bunch of relatively smart guys. You guys know I like Mark Domenic. I think he is a genuinely good guy. As much as I can think that about someone who I barely know. I was touched that he came out to our party. I love that he interacts with our fans. I think he's made some good decisions across time. But at some point, someone has to lead the fucking ship. You have to have a captain. And right now, there seems to be a problem with that. The owners are clearly not going to be the captains. That doesn't mean that they're bad people. They're business people. That's why they kept a football guy, quote-unquote, in Mark Domenic when they ousted the previous regime led by Raheem Morris. That team quit on him. We all saw it. That doesn't make Raheem a bad guy. It doesn't make him a bad position coach. They quit on him. He had to go. They didn't exactly support him with free agents. Maybe things would have been different. Who knows? That's the Wayback Machine. It doesn't do any good to talk about it. They brought in a guy that built a story that plays well with ownership, and when executed, can actually work well. When you look at a mirror image organization like the Giants, when they brought in Tom Coughlin, they got the Coughlin who had already failed before. He came in, he was on the precipice of failure, they get a ring, all of a sudden he gets a half-life. Oh, well, fuck, yeah, he's a disciplinarian, an asshole, whatever, whatever. He won a ring. And you're right, he has been a bad position coach for the Redskins. I don't watch them enough to see the individuals, but the results haven't been good. So you win a ring, all of a sudden you can be a curmudgeon. You can be a crotchety ass. You can Debo people at press conferences. Right? If you're not winning, you're just an asshole. So now, we're left with a situation where innuendo and speculation dominate the airwaves. I would listen to the coach's press conference. After a loss, where we're 0-4, going into a bye week with a new quarterback, we got some guys coming back healthy. We got a chance for Vincent to get healthy again and hopefully regain the form that he had before, because to be honest, he's not earning his money right now. And instead of talking about those things, probably 80% of the press conference was about our ex-quarterback. How is that healthy? How does that make any sense? How, as the head of an organization worth what the Buccaneers are worth, do you let day in and day out this bullshit happen? How has someone with a good fucking title not stepped up and said, listen, we get it. This looks like a fucking joke of an organization right now, and we are as embarrassed as you are. We will address this. We are looking from top to bottom. There have been personnel issues, there have been managerial issues, and there have been a ton of perception management issues. Josh has been a good player for us. We wish him well. We're working with him to find a situation that makes the most sense for us financially and makes the most sense for Josh financially and for another team, right? Spin it however you want. Cut him. It's $6 million. You fucked up. If you wanted to move him, you should have moved him in the offseason, right? You deserve to get that one put in the ass, right? Take it. Move the fuck on. Now, you go out and get free agents that you tell you're going to win now because you've got a guy in his fifth year who's going to make the turn. You get all the pieces. You get all the shit in the cupboard. We just brought in a new cook. He's got lots of stuff in the cupboard. He's going to go Emerald style, and bam, we're going to get to the playoffs. And you pull a fucking reversal. Do you think Carl Nix, Deshaun Goldson, Darrell Revis, Vincent Jackson, do you think these guys want to sit here and develop a rookie quarterback, whether it's Mike Glennon or someone else? Fuck no, they don't. What is this offseason going to look like? And instead of taking the high road, and I'm not saying that Josh's camp isn't without some culpability here. I didn't like the ESPN interview. I think I understand strategically why they went national instead of local, because local has been leapfrogged in all of the leaks and stories and innuendos that have come from the other side, right? So you go national. I didn't like it personally, but I'm not on Josh's PR team. I'm clearly not on the Bucks PR team. No one fucking asked me anything, right? But you can't let this dominate the conversation, all the way up to whether he's in his box or another box. Jenna Lane's story, which is correct. You pull him out of the suite that he has and you put him in another suite. It's just amazing. So, at any rate, we'll talk more about this because I'm pissed. And I want to do, so I was talking to Spent before the show. I am not going to stop going to these games, because to be honest, when I look at who I'm upset with, am I upset with the players? No, I'm not. They're out there playing football. They're doing the best they can. Mike Glennon did the best he could this Sunday. I got nothing against Mike Glennon. He was drafted. He played college football. He wants to play. No one comes into this game to pull the fucking clipboard, except for maybe John Kitna. I take that back, John. You're a great quarterback. Whatever. My anger is with the front of the jersey. And I don't know how to attack them without attacking the players. So we've talked about a couple of ideas, and I'm going to open it up to you guys. And we can talk about this throughout the broadcast. We'll talk some about the Cardinals game. We're talking about a kind of blackout. I am not wearing another Buccaneer logo the rest of this year until they address this. Does that hurt them at all? Nope. Doesn't even fucking... They won't even give a shit. Right? But it'll matter to me, because I've got a lot of Buccaneer logo shit. I am encouraging all of you who go to the game to do the same thing. I will be wearing a black t-shirt to the game. We're talking about getting black poster boards as well as doing some sort of unified holding up of a black poster board. This organization needs to know. When I look at our fans that are in here right now, we got a bunch of people in the chat room right now. We got thousands of people listening to this podcast. You guys give up your time on Tuesdays and Thursday nights quite often when there's good football on. You give up family time. You listen to me when you're at work. You listen in the car on the Audubon. You guys are the fucking epitome of fans, in my opinion. That's not pandering, which I think a lot of these media douchebags do, where they just go with the current prevailing theory and beat that drum until it doesn't get fucking airplay. You guys care, right? And so when I say this to you, you understand. And I know that there's going to be someone who'll take this video and make fun of a 42-year-old man who would give this much of a shit about a team that he has no vested interest in. Well, you know what? Fuck you. I do have a vested interest. I love this game. They're my team. They're my local team. And I have passion. I have passion about that. I have passion about my family. I have a lot of passion. If you're going to do something half-assed, then don't fucking do it. So, we are going to figure out a way to let this organization know. The challenge we have is strategically these moves, this decision. I don't know that it's orchestrated. I don't give credit for anyone to be able to orchestrate any sort of fucking conspiracy, to be honest, because I think people are just too stupid to do this, right? But if this were a conspiracy, the timing is perfect because there's a bye week. What can we do in a bye week? What do we do? Have a picket at one buck place? No one will give a fuck about that, right? But this organization needs to understand. Hey, the Glazers bought out the rest of the games. Thanks. That's great, because they only put 42,000 people in the stands for the Cardinals game. How many people do you think are going to be there for the next game after this bullshit? Well, the Eagles guys travel well, so it'll be a Philly home game. I've been to those before. They suck balls. So, I'm open to ideas. Questions at whatthebuck.net. Send it in. The things we've talked about doing. Our tailgates are going to stay the same. This is the other part. So you guys hear me talk about it. You can't all come to our tailgates. We've raised thousands of dollars for charity already, and we're going to continue to do this every single fucking home game. I do not give a shit what this organization does to try and ruin the play on the field, or ostensibly, and it's not fair maybe to say the organization is trying to do this. I don't have any inside information that I know that Coach Schiano is going after Josh Freeman personally, or Mark Dominic is, or any of that shit. Right, it's just as much conjecture as the bullshit that has been trotted out as evidence for Josh having personal demons off the field. It's all conjecture. It's all bullshit. But at some point, we lost reason here. And at this point, they've lost the team. And they're real close to losing the fucking fans. But we're not going to lose the tailgate. We're not going to stop supporting pediatric cancer. We're not going to stop supporting American Heart Association. We're not going to stop supporting the spring. Right? So at our tailgates, we're going to continue. You want to wear the logos out there, that's fine. Wear your jerseys. I know we got guys with awesome custom jerseys. We got face painters that have whole personas around this. And I respect the shit out of that. Do your thing. But as soon as we're done with that group photo, those logos, I'm not wearing them anymore, right? But if, in my opinion, I would encourage you to drop the logos, put them away, put on a black t-shirt, and walk in. And let them know that this is fucking unacceptable. This has transcended an issue with going after one kid, one young man, whatever the fuck you want to call him. At 25 years old, he's a young man. He's going to be fine. He's got a great support network. And his play will dictate his future, right? If someone picks him up, he gets a chance, he'll either hit or not. And he's a grown-ass man, and he'll handle it. But at this point, they're fucking with the thing that I hold dearest in this area, which is my home team. B. Wall Street mentioned there's talk of trading Vincent Jackson. I have heard the same rumor. Think about it, guys. We've got a rookie quarterback. Regardless of what you think of him, this isn't a run for the Super Bowl. It's probably not next year. You've got big contracts that you've got to move. I would not be surprised to see some changes. So all of the hope, all of the excitement, all of the lead-in to this year is dead, guys. It's fucking dead. Now, Coach Schiano says he's got a unified locker room. I would love to hear someone come out the way Justin Tuck did and defend their coach. Every year, you guys know this, I go to Canton. I'm fortunate. I've been elected into the PFUFA, which is the Ultimate Fans Alliance. Cheryl has been too. And right now, I am absolutely embarrassed by what my franchise does, not my team. And you're saying in the chat room, which is great, our defense is playing some good football. Gerald McCoy is playing Pro Bowl caliber. Levante David is too. Deshaun Goldson's killing people illegally, so fuck you, NFL. This is not about the players, guys. It's about what they're doing to the team. And do I think that the group of people that we have here are vocal enough to make a difference? I don't know. Sometimes it just takes one. Eric Phillips in the chat room says, you know what I find interesting? Not one person or player has come out and defended Freeman. Not one person has come out and said anything that is a clear and unique statement of fact or position. In fact, ever since Schiano came in, he has had everyone on the team on a media lockdown. And that is a fucking fact. If you look at the quotes after the decision, the veterans were all surprised. But it's the coach's decision. Look at Gerald McCoy's comment after the victory formation thing, which we will talk about again, because coach said that if the players came in and said they didn't want to run it, he'd take it out of your playbook. I happen to think that is bullshit. Skip Brown says hit Twitter. I like that. I would love to think that the Bucks organization is efficient enough to follow Twitter. I don't think they are. I'm a grassroots guy. If you have season tickets, call your season ticket person. Tell them you're thinking about not renewing. Why is he still the coach? Now, so this is the interesting part, and we'll talk about this. And like I said, guys, we can talk about the Cardinals. I've got data on the Cardinals. We can talk about how the loss was exactly the same way as the first 2 weeks. We can talk about how the game plan was different, but the results were the same. We can talk about how fucking stupid it is to target their number one cornerback with a rookie QB to a receiver who's busted and not playing well. We can talk about that shit till we're blue in the face. But it's the same fucking problem. If you're not a season ticket holder, Lebowski, certainly you can call. I think calling is the right answer. Writing actual letters on these things called, this is called paper. You may be familiar. I'm old, so I print shit out. Fuck the trees, right? Who do I blame was one of the questions in the chat room. And as far as chasing him all the way to LA, you know what, Calico? And I've never said this before, because I would absolutely be crushed if this team left Tampa. Because I love this game. I really, really do. But if a group of fans could raise enough hell to make this franchise move to LA, then fuck them. They're no longer my home team if they move. I'll get over it. I don't think it would happen. Someone asked, who do you blame? And at this point, the blame, I think, has to be shared roughly equally between the heads of this franchise. Your head coach, your general manager, and your ownership. Your ownership has been historically hands-off, though they were apparently extremely integral in the decision to hire Coach Shiano, because his story plays well. It played well with me. I'm a coach at heart. I love the story. The story works well. Until the story's bullshit. That's the dangerous thing. It's a precarious thing you do when you base your entire foundation on something like trust, belief, and accountability. And then you betray trust. You don't demonstrate belief, and you ignore accountability. I heard Coach say in the press conference they're paid to win games, in which case I would wonder if they're giving back their fucking checks right now as a coaching staff. Drew Hamilton in the chat room says, I can't believe Dominic's going along with this nonsense I expected from Shiano, but Mark. This is where it becomes conjecture again. We'll never necessarily know. CT Buck, send them in. Jesus Christ, they could use someone. And this has been a consistent beef with me ever since John Grella left this organization. And I had nothing against Jason Dial, and I think from a customer service perspective, they've done a great job trying to get season ticket holders in and build a better package, right? But the fact that in all of this shit, we haven't heard once from the fucking general manager to establish what's going on. Yeah, I'm sure that video clip's getting snagged. Not once. And he is a well-spoken, articulate person. It's a clusterfuck, guys. And no one seems to care. And Calico, you're right. Historically, that's been true. And I wonder if that's his choice or if that's the direction. But who's setting the direction? If not him, who? The Glazers? No. Game plans. Oh, so we made some big moves. Some big moves. We finally cut the guy who manages to drop 2 to 3 balls per game, Ogletree, and brought back a guy who dropped 2 to 3 balls per game in preseason, Underwood. Because apparently there are no other receivers anywhere. And yet I'm still excited because I still think it's an improvement. We cut Ahmad Black, which I don't necessarily understand. Since Mark Barron is injured, we don't have much depth at safety. I see absolutely no logic in any of the moves that are happening at any point. And yet I sit there and I watch our team. And I watch Gerald McCoy just fucking beast through people. I watch Akeem Spence play his ass off. I watch Adrian Claiborne running around like he's got a motor that doesn't stop. I watch Levante David just be special. Just be fucking special. Shadowhawk, that's funny about Barber, by the way. What did Black do to stay? He's not Tandy. Isn't that enough? We play with three safeties all the fucking time. We don't have enough to field a defense at this point. Yes, we miss PJ Fleck. There is no doubt. We knew it in the offseason. We knew when he left. Sean Jones looking for work. I like the Shadowhawk guy said last week. I mean it. So here we see. Keith Tandy, fuck the world. I like it. Here we see the Cardinals come in. And they're just not good, guys. They've got all kinds of injuries. We dominate the game. We leave them close enough to compete. Now, any player, any team, any sport, Brandon Fay just weighed in. And by the way, I need to thank you, Brandon. We used one of the miniatures. Brandon creates, amongst other things, custom-made miniature figures of players. And he donated a number of them to us for our raffles. One of them went out in a throwback gift basket this weekend with Rondé Barber. It was awesome. And we really appreciate that, Brandon. We'll continue to remind people that you did that. So if you need those sort of figures, make sure you hit Brandon up on Facebook. But the question is, what legit free agent would come here after what's going on? Now, this was a question that people asked for a long time. No free agents will come here. No free agents will come here because the Glazers are too cheap. No free agents will come here because this place is broken. And yet we kept signing all the expensive free agents. Who knew? You mean that people are drawn to money? That's interesting. Oh, and we had pieces in place. So the question is now, do we have money? Do we have pieces in place? Do you want to come play for money, or do you want to try and get a Super Bowl? Right, because at some point you've earned enough money. I know that's a sin to say sometimes, but sometimes these guys are playing for their legacy. Now, Calico, this is an interesting question. What coaches would come here? Let's actually talk about that. What coaches would come here? Well, that's going to depend a lot upon what's in the cupboard. If the free agents that we signed stay, if Deshaun Goldson and Darrell Revis and Carl Nix and Vincent Jackson are still here and they're healthy, who wouldn't want to come here? Do we think that Mark Dominic orchestrated this clusterfuck? No, he's been here for a long time. We've never had this kind of clusterfuck. We had other kinds of clusterfucks, but not this kind. This is a whole new, unique way of being fucking stupid. Calico, I disagree. Talent is a draw to coaches. Is it the only draw? No. Because money's a draw. Location's a draw. The ability to be GM as well as coach could be a draw. It depends on the coach. If you go after a college coach who just wants a job in the pros, just getting in the pros is a draw. Whether we believe Mark Dominic is the problem or is part of the problem or not, Mark Dominic has presided over multiple failed regimes. I like the guy. As much as you can like someone who you don't know as a human that much. I've had multiple conversations. I like what I've seen him do. But I said it when Raheem was let go. How do you keep the guy who hired everybody that you just fired? I didn't understand it then. I understand it less this time. Right now, so Skip Brown asks who's my replacement. I hate decisions that happen in the middle of the year. I think it's one of the worst things you can possibly do. But at this point, I don't know that they have a choice. I would have sworn up until 10 minutes before the press conference at the end of the game that there's no way in hell that Coach Schiano would be fired in the middle of this year. I thought for sure that the ownership had bought in hook, line, and sinker and that he'd get at least one more year. I'm not so sure now. This is absolutely, absolutely amazing to me. Our team wasn't a draw to Chip Kelly. Fuck Chip Kelly. He went to the Eagles and they suck. Right? And Adam Schefter is jerking off about this offense. They got shut down after defense saw it for a half. Are you kidding me? Fuck Chip Kelly. Ooh, the spread's going to revolutionize everything. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, great. Again, guys. What wins, and Kurt's bringing up the point, right? This is where we're going to get to. We have two former head coaches, right? We got Butch Davis and we got Dave Wannstedt. Now, Dave Wannstedt at this point has not impressed me with what he's done with our special teams units, to be quite honest. If you're asking me what I would do, Sean, please tell me you're fucking with us about this Lane Kiffin bullshit. You're making my head hurt. Butch Davis would be my play. Butch Davis would be my play. And Butch Davis may actually parlay himself into GM. I don't have anything against Dave Wannstedt. I don't know that Dave Wannstedt's necessarily part of the problem. I just know that if you're a former head coach, if you have the pedigree Dave Wannstedt is, your special teams team should be absolutely bawling. Right? You're not an entry-level guy. And now let's not, again, I'm not trying to run Dominic out because I think he's made every bad move. But he's made bad moves. I think if you look at the efficacy of any general manager over a period of time, call it 5 to 7 years, you're going to find shit drafts and good drafts. Shit free agents and good free agents. Drew, that clause is exceeded by now, as I recall. I thought, just like Gruden, he played out of that. And even if he didn't, it wasn't that much money to begin with. Someone can Google that. I can't. Not to mention, you can make him GM. You're right. Shit podcast and good podcast. You're right, Lebowski. I'm not sure which one this is. You've got guys like Lovie Smith out there. You got Zimmer out there. You got Schottenheimer out there if he's still on life support. Our defense right now, whoever's calling the plays, whether it's Schiano or Sheridan, I don't know who it is. Our defense is playing good football, right? We should be able to find that out, Drew. I mean, if someone wants to Google it, I don't remember. I remember when it happened, right? I don't think he had a long tail on that. But regardless, even if you can't put him in as interim head coach, you can promote from within, and you can set him up from a GM capacity if that's the way you want to go. The problem that we have, guys, is you're talking about a reboot. And I forgot who it was who said earlier. We've got most of the pieces. We've got a lot of the pieces. We do. When you look at this, talk about Lee Flowers and paper champions. This team is a paper championship, right? You got all kinds of talent on the roster sheet, but you can't beat the fucking Cardinals. $1.77 million from the university is part of the buyout written into his contract. A whole $1.77 million? Ooh. That's a lot to you and me, but that ain't shit to them, guys. And the depth thing, guys, and Shadowhawk, I hear you, but most teams have inches of depth, right? It's tough to get depth at every spot. That, we've talked about that before, right? Hey, Axe, how you doing? Now, this is another thing that's interesting to watch happen. Another man's one man's trash is another man's treasure. We actually had people saying we should go get Carson Palmer. Did you watch Carson Palmer play this week? He won, by the way. He did win. He made a couple good throws down the end. Who cares? He's terrible. Ask the Raiders. He's still terrible. You've got enough money in that offensive line that, what was it, 1.7 yards a carry? Is that what we ended up? Check that out. I think it was 1.7 yards a carry, wasn't it? Where's our rushing yards, total rushing plays? No, it was higher than that. 2.6. I think Dougie was 1.7. Yeah, 1.7. Now, I know that the Cardinals came in allegedly stout against the run. But when you build a football team, this hasn't changed. You build from the lines. You've got Carl Nixon, Davin Joseph. You've got Donald Penn, insert right tackle here, and Jeremy Zuda. You've got tight ends who can't catch, but they make up for it by not being able to block. You've got a running back who's a legitimate threat who you can't give a single fucking opportunity to get a crease. You insist on running the same set of offensive plays. And yet on your last possession of significance, you run for 4 yards and you don't trust. You don't trust the people that you should trust the most at that point. Not to say, and this is, again, not bashing Mike Glennon, guys. Despite the fact that statistically he did not have a very good game. That's okay. It's going to happen. The fact that we haven't implemented anything new to try and help Doug Martin out is absolutely offensive. So, to recap the Cardinals game, in case people don't know what the problem was, we did the same shit we did in every other game. Our offense played like dog shit. Our defense played their asses off. We had the lead towards the end. We choked it up, and we lost. And in the chat room, his passer rating was 55.7. They had the kid throw 43 times. He was sacked twice for a loss of 20 yards, one of them almost giving up the safety. Shadowhawk is on fire. Brian Leonard must be illiterate. He can't spell Martin worth a damn. Boom, boom. Calico Jack says the defense didn't score enough to win. There's the answer. Guys, the problem is the offense. The problem is our offensive play calling is abysmal. Whether that's Sullivan or Schiano, I don't know. if it's who you've got on the field because your third wide receiver sucks and you don't have tight ends that can make up for the third wide receiver sucking, guess what? That's your fucking fault. If the offensive line you've invested the money and time in can't block, that's your fucking fault. Now, you guys have asked me what I thought about Glennon. Glennon looked like what I thought Glennon would look like. He's a young guy. He's got an accurate enough arm. He is slow of foot. He did get through his progressions well. I thought that was good. There's a lot of checkdowns. It's not your fault, Calico. Sorry, it's the staff's fault. He made critical mistakes at critical times. That happens. He wasn't helped out by his number one receiver, who let Peterson eat his lunch, as opposed to their number one receiver, who torched Revis in the end zone. Guess what? He's a Pro Bowl receiver too, guys. That's what Pro Bowl receivers do from time to time. Did you see the touchdown pass, by the way? I can't believe I haven't gotten on this rant. The distribution did look good. He threw the ball to a lot of different receivers. He managed to eke over that 50% mark, too, on accuracy, which seemed to be the litmus test for all quarterbacks from this point forward. The slant to Mike Williams. For a solid 6 years, we've talked about this. The slant-fade combo. That play was over before the snap, guys. If you didn't see that, you haven't listened to me, you haven't watched enough football. Yeah, when you look at the pass distribution for Glennon, ...10 to 19, or greater than 20 yards, there were two attempts. Between 10 and 19, there were 12, 15 attempts. Everything else was either within 10 yards or behind the line of scrimmage. It was not graded out as a particularly good game. If you care about Pro Football Focus, it was significantly worse than Josh's worst game. But again, that's not the point. Josh is no longer our quarterback. Mike Glennon is, right? He didn't look nervous. He didn't at all. I thought that the kid stood up to the opportunity well. That's good. Oh, Swords and Skulls. Yeah, we're supposed to do that. Thank you very much, Spent. I want to go over a couple things before we do that. Sorry, I've been on a bit of a rant. I want to thank our sponsors, Winghouse Tampa. The girls did an amazing job, as always. We had an amazing tailgate. These are the positives. We had an amazing tailgate. We raised $1,000 for the American Heart Association, which this week I will deposit in Brian's corporate account, which will get doubled by Verizon, which is phenomenal. Yeah, we played more than a half of football, though, right? The girls did a great job. The raffle was awesome. So Winghouse, thank you. Whiskey Willie's, thank you so much, Wally. It was great stuff there. Ybor City Chiropractic, Anywhere Transportation, Buccaneer Bees, John Amato, Black Ops Flavor, Steakhouse Elite. The tailgate was absolutely phenomenal. David, I'll put the podcast up right after the show. Don't worry, brother. You'll be good. Now, last week we said there were a couple things. Predictive MVPs, I had predicted Doug Martin and Gerald McCoy. Doug Martin did not play particularly well. He was not helped out by his offensive line, so I failed miserably in that regard. I also said Gerald McCoy, who did ball his ass off. I'm not sure how he graded out in this game, but I know that there were some plays where he looked like playing. Yeah, he's a 5.5. He had a sack, a QB hit, three QB hurries. The guy is playing great football. I'm actually going to go with, for my sword, Levante David, who may not have graded out as highly as Gerald McCoy, but Levante David made me say holy shit more than once. Let me see Levante David here. Now, he actually neutral graded, but for some reason, he just impressed the shit out of me. But we had some keys to the game that we had called out. Run, Dougie, run. We tried to. We just did a shit job of it. Protect the new QB. We did a shit job of that. And score on defense. We did a shit job of that. So we were 0 for 3, and who knew? We lost. So Skulls and Swords. Let me check the Skulls and Swords. Spank gave that to me. Charlie Clausen, Sword Mike Williams for getting the ball into uncharted territory, a.k.a. the end zone. Skull to Voldemort 2.0. For those of you who don't know, I called Mr. Olsen Voldemort. So did actually Steve White, I think, coined that term for Sully. Kurt says, wait, no one wants to crucify Lindell this week? Sword to McCoy, Skull to the O-line. Skull to Mike Sullivan, Sword to the secondary. God damn it, guys, it's one person. Sword to Revis, Skull to Sullivan. Skull, Mike Williams, because we need him to step up and take over when VJ is held in check by an elite corner. It wasn't held in check by an elite corner. VJ just didn't play good football. That's Brian Dorey. Can't be VJ or Martin or Bus every week. He's making enough money now to be a difference maker. Sword to Gerald McCoy for dominating the interior of the scrimmage, line of scrimmage. Joel Reakin. Sword to tight end Tim Wright. 5 catches for 41 yards, 8.2 yards a catch. He played like the third wide receiver he is. Skull to Mike Sullivan. Special shout out to Revis for his first INT. Yeah, it looked like he was a receiver on that play. Ryan Winfrey, Sword to McCoy. Skull to Shiano. Schaefer, Sword to McCoy. Skull to Sullivan. Joseph Bai, Sword to Revis. Skull to Sully. Keith Bryan, Sword to McCoy, Skull to Shiano. Bill Mason, Sword to GMC, Skull to Greg Schiano. Jason Watson, Skull to Freeman. Look at his stats. He didn't complete a single pass. Sword to Freeman, finally game without a costly turnover. See, that's humor that we got going on there. Robert Piotrowski, Skull to Shiano, Stud to Gerald McCoy. He's becoming what we all hoped he was going to be. That's something we haven't talked a lot about because there's a lot of people that were touting Gerald McCoy as a bust. They've gone predictably quiet. Chris Espinosa, Skull to Dominic and the Glazers for allowing Shiano to be employed. Sword to Shiano for tricking them into being employed. Lots of humor this week. Bob Ripperton, Skull to McCoy. Or Sword to McCoy, Skull to Black. Ollie Ellis, Sword to Jonathan Banks for his first pick. That was a freaking ridiculous catch, guys. That was an awesome play. Skull to Shiano for benching Freeman a week early. Mike Chapman, Sword to McCoy, Skull has to go to Sullivan overall. Richard Griffin, Sword to McCoy for effort, Skull to Sullivan for effort. Now, it's interesting, the comment about benching him a week early. And Brian Shuker has a question in here. Has a team ever fired a coach in midseason and brought in a replacement from the outside? I can't think of any. And he said he couldn't either. It's possible. I just can't think of any. Again, it's possible. Need to buy Sean King a beer next time I see him at Applebee's, says Brian. Tailgate is undefeated. What time is it? Shit, it's almost 9:50. Yeah, so Sean Dog, so Demora Smith was here. Grievance has been filed on behalf of Lawrence Tynes via the NFLPA for the handling of Lawrence Tynes' situation with MRSA. I think we all kind of saw that coming at some point. And the NFLPA is very concerned about the fact that Josh's medical situation with regards to Stage 1 of the NFL drug program got leaked somehow. Now, we didn't spend a lot of time fixating on that because I hope you guys have finally read the article and actually read the words in the article and not just read the fucking headline or read parts of the article. Spend the 7.5 minutes it takes to read the entire article. There's a problem when your personal medical information gets leaked. Yeah, D. Smith was already making the rounds before. This wasn't a special trip. Look at Kurt Creel. 24 in-season firings, a little more than one per season. 14 teams have fired a coach during the season at all. The question becomes whether they brought someone in. Don't hold my breath about people reading the whole article. Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, and Roman, you're right. We probably will never know who leaked the info because if they're smart, they'll never let anyone know. Shadowhawk brings up the right question. Who stood to gain from the information being leaked? No one. None of this makes sense. It leaves you with the same bullshit conjecture that we had before, that it may be personal. the Bucks certainly don't benefit from it because Josh as an asset is devalued. And B. Shuck, just because you say something with definitive language doesn't make it truth. The team didn't. Josh. Why would Josh devalue himself? So he can get cut? Ostensibly, that makes the most sense I can think of. It'd be a hell of a dipsy-doo dunkaroo, wouldn't it? Shiano personally may have gained, Roman says. Possibly. Don't know. If another team found out, and this is something Sean King said I haven't been able to validate yet. He said when you're in stage one, which is voluntary, that's one of those words that's in the article that people didn't bother reading. And we've established that Axe did not, in as much as we trust Axe's personal truth. Oh, I'm sorry, Shuck. Got you. No, I didn't hear the show. I was at a meeting last night, and I heard that people were lambasting him on the radio. He doesn't care. And he can't care, right? He can't. I mean, you got to have thick skin for this shit. If they find out, if the person who leaked it was dumb enough to do it in electronic format, first of all, they're dumb enough to deal with whatever ramifications are. We may never know. But I know that the NFLPA is going to go after him aggressively. What we do know is that Josh, it would be a way for Josh to clear up the dooming statements about needing abuse help. He cleared 46 tests. It would be. It would be. But have you ever seen Josh need to clear anything up? I mean, that's the other thing is, has he ever felt like he needed to do that? Has he ever gone out and tried to make a stance on something? That hasn't been his MO. But again, here we sit talking about our ex-quarterback. In my mind, and no one asked me this, but I tell you guys shit you didn't ask all the time. You're welcome, Max. I'm glad I could do that for you. You chalk up the $6 million. You come out. You're the Mark Donovan or the Glazers come out, and they say, listen, this has gotten ridiculous. It started with best intentions. It started under control, and regardless of the reasons, it has spun out of control, and our organization and our town and our players are suffering, and this is ridiculous and unacceptable. We've released Josh Freeman. He is free to sign with any team. Yes, we know that that has hurt us financially, but it's the right thing to do for him. It's the right thing to do for us. We need to move past this chapter into the next chapter of the Bucs organization, which will be led by Mike Glennon at quarterback at this point. If they're going to make a change in coaching staff, they make that statement then. If they're not, then they stand behind their coach. Whether that makes sense to you or me or anyone, that's what you've got to do from a PR perspective, right? The handling of this was poor, and as the owners of this franchise, that rests on us. I assure you that we're working to build an organization that can handle these sorts of crises that happen in every kind of corporation at this size and scale. When it happens to you, it's embarrassing. We will not let it happen again. We're sorry to any harm that's done to our image in the eyes of our fans and the people who we need to support us. We will work tirelessly from this point forward to regain your trust, regain your faith, and regain your support. Something to that effect. That will not be done. It is what I call, when I give meeting management courses, elephant hunting. You've all heard the expression, the elephant in the room. And no, it's not a fat joke. This is going to be the elephant in the room until you shoot the motherfucker. End it. Rip the Band-Aid off. If you can trade, trade. If you can't trade fast, end this shit now. And either determine you have bought into Shiano and you're going to do whatever the fuck you've got to do to build him back up, because right now he looks like a fucking clown shoe. Or tear him off like a Band-Aid too and blow the motherfucker up. hire Chris Hovan. All right, guys. We've ranted for about an hour. No one's bringing back Tony Dungy. Tony Dungy would never come back. No one's bringing back John Gruden. He would never come back. Hell, I don't know if Dre Gruden would come if they tried to get him, just because of how John was handled at the end of his tenure here. It's going to be ugly. It's going to be ugly. I definitely want to hear your opinions about it. Let me see if anyone sent any mail into the mailbag, guys. Sorry, I didn't check that yet. We'll go a few minutes over. Appreciate you tuning in and listening. I know this was not our normal topic. We normally go far deeper into the game. But I just felt like this was what we needed to talk about. Once email launches, I will I'll take a look at it, assuming it launches. Who's we? You got a mouse in your pocket. I don't know what you're talking about. Jim Levin and BJ Daniels. Nice. Of course, email is going to be a pain in the ass. I won't be able to get to email. Sorry, guys. I told you to send an email. I'll follow up with that after the show if email doesn't launch. We will not be having another show this week. It's a bye week. We're going to rest. I am open to your ideas. We'll do it via social media. How about that? We'll take it to Facebook and to Twitter. The boos in the corner, and by the way, Rick Brown, who I like a lot, Lakeland Ledger reporter, said they were booing Mike Glennon. I do not believe that to be true. Those boos, I believe, were directly aimed at the coach. Callie, why would you be able to turn your Freeman jerseys in? He played here for years. He didn't shoot anybody. The fuck does that even mean? I don't know. Yeah, email's fucking with me. All right, I won't be able to get to email. Sorry about that, guys. I will check your email afterwards. Right now, my thought, and this is going to be open for discussing. I got you, Callie. Sorry. Is the blackout. Black shirts, no logos, and the poster board. Animal had a question. I'll try and do that. Can you explain why he was tested 46 times? He voluntarily entered stage one of the program after the switch from his prescription of Adderall to Ritalin, which meant that he was subject to increased frequency of random testing. So instead of the 26 instances that would normally have occurred, he was tested 46 times. We may have a gathering at Wing House this weekend if I can work one out, Roman, so stay tuned. Stay tuned to us on Facebook, facebook.com/ What the Buck, on Twitter at What the Buck. I have not gotten into the pissing matches that a lot of people have. By the way, Jenna Lane's report, like I said, was correct. They did have him leave the suite that he has to pay for and go to the other suite, which made absolutely no sense. NFL policy now is public knowledge. It is mandatory. NFL policy now that's... According to NFL policy now, that's it's public knowledge. It is mandatory stage one. I don't understand that sentence. Josh, hit me up with an email. I don't know what you're trying to say there. At any rate, we will figure out something. I don't know what's gonna happen with the team that we love, guys. Thank you for being in the chat room. Sorry I didn't get to do the shout outs. I'll let you guys know when we're gonna be back on. I suspect we'll be back on next week on Tuesday. And we'll talk about what we can expect going into player development. There we go. Thank you very much, Josh. Going into next the entire substance abuse. Okay, there we go. I will read this. That is the PDF that backs it. This is from 2010. I'm not sure if that is still the document being used. It probably is. That's when the CBA was approved. So I'll go back and check that out. I appreciate that. Anyway, the podcast will be posted directly after this. And I will send out a note as well when we make the donation to the American Heart Association. Thanks to everyone who donated. Thanks to everyone who participated in the tailgates. Regardless of what they do to the franchise that we all love, we are going to continue to have great tailgates. It is no longer voluntary. It is mandatory since the public knows about it. That's what I'm going to say. I still don't understand what you guys are saying. So I'll get to it. I'll read it. No, it has nothing to do with that. And if we could hire Monica Lewinsky, that would be good. So, all right. Thanks to Spent, to Roman, to Nuts, to the Zellers, to the Winfreys, all the people that make the tailgates happen. You guys were amazing. To the Winghouse Girls, to everyone for listening, to putting up for my catharsis. We'll be back next week. And if you have anything between now and then, get out there. No logos. In the blackout, not even what the Buck logos. This is not about anyone advancing any position. Go get a black T-shirt. That's it. And I know you poor bastards that's on the east side are like, fuck you, you fat bastard. It's hot as nuts on the east side. Yeah, well, get seats on the west side. I don't know what to tell you. Or deal with it. It's hot. Play dry. I don't know. A fan. I don't know. It would suck if I was over there. I'm in the shade, so it's black makes sense. But I think that the poster board would be a good thing, too. So if you guys are interested, then absolutely spread the word. Spread the word. These guys need to understand that we do not feel that it is acceptable. So, all right, guys, I'm going to get out of here. We'll use the other new mix to send you guys away.
Tell me.